What if the night sky was missing a moon? There were no shooting stars to use wishing on you. And all of my sorrows, I just washed them down. It's the only peace I've ever found. All of this drinking and smoking is hopeless, but feel like it's all that I need. Something inside of me. Sets me free. I'm a lost cause. Baby, don't waste your time on me. I'm so damaged beyond repair. Life has shattered my hopes and my
from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 95.7 St. Croix Country. WSCM Baldwin. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Well, I remember it all very well. Looking back, it was the summer I turned 18. Lived in a one-room run-down shack on the outskirts of New Orleans. We didn't have money for food or rent, to say the least. We were hard-pressed. Then Mama spent every last penny we had to buy me a dancing dress. Well, Mama washed and combed and curled my hair, and then she painted my eyes and lips. Then I stepped into a satin dancing dress that had a split from the side clean up to my ear. It was red velvet trimming, and it fit me good. Standing back from the looking glass, there stood a woman where a half-grown kid had stood. She said, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. She said, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. Mama dabbed a little bit of perfume on my neck, then she kissed my cheek. And then I saw the tears welling up in her troubled eyes as she started to speak. Looked at a pitiful shack, and then she looked at me and took a ragged breath. She said, your paws run off, and I'm real sick, and the baby's gonna starve to death. She handed me a heart-shaped locket that said, to thine own self be true. And I shivered as I watched a roach crawl across the toe of my high-heeled shoe. It sounded like somebody else that was talking, asking, Mama, what do I do? She said, just be nice to the gentleman fancy, they'll be nice to you. Baby mama died and I ain't been back. But the wheels of fate started to turn, and for me there was no way out. Wasn't very long till I knew exactly what my mama been talking about. I knew what I had to do when I made myself this solemn vow. I was gonna be a lady someday, though I didn't know when or how. But I couldn't see spending the rest of my life with my head hung down in shame. You know I might have been born just plain white trash, but fancy was my name. She said, here's your one chance, fancy, don't let me down. Oh, here's your one chance.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
A 50-year landmark study compared young kids who got an intense early education with other children who did not, and tracked the results into adulthood. We'll share the fascinating results of this research.
Between children who got very high quality early childhood education compared to the children who didn't, what we see is something we had not anticipated.
Then, what risk factors increase the chance of having a stroke? And what should you do to lessen the chances?
The more of the risk factors that you have, they kind of act synergistically, or, you know, they accelerate the risk of a stroke.
Those two interviews and more are ahead on this week's edition of InfoTrack. Stay with us. The program begins after this.
Pluto TV is a place for movie fans like me.
And TV fans like me.
They've got something for everyone, and it's free.
I love free, and I love Jersey Shore.
For me, it's The Godfather.
SpongeBob SquarePants, I am Patrick. Patrick is me.
Oh, Forrest Gump, come on.
Criminal Minds, solving crime after bedtime.
Whatever you love to watch, Pluto TV makes it easy with thousands of free movies and shows.
Pluto TV, stream now, pay never.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. Your boxes are wrapped and the gifts are in. Our employees are ready. Let the holiday ride begin. Let's start with the price. It's easy to manage when you ship with the reliable USPS Ground Advantage. In just a few days, it's sure to arrive. We're working nonstop to keep the spirit alive. USPS Ground Advantage, the affordable and reliable shipping solution for the holidays. Visit USPS.com/advantage.
Let's face it, winter can be a hard season. It's cold pretty much all the time. Blizzard. You have to shovel. Another blizzard. You slip on ice. But you know what makes winter suck a little less? Getting a free phone. Join Cricket Nation and get a free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G. Ooh, ouch. Welcome to enjoying more. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G is not available everywhere. Must open a new line on the $60 unlimited plan. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Fees, terms, and other restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
A long-term research study has shown that early active learning boost skills for children born into extreme poverty. But the gains fade for young male blacks. The director of the study is Craig Ramey, PhD, research professor and distinguished research scholar at the Fralin Biomedical Research Institute. Dr. Ramey, could you give us a brief overview of the Absidarian Project and what initially inspired this study over 50 years ago?
I begin the conceptualization of the Absidarian study in 1970 and officially launched it in 72. The goal was to find out whether and to what extent early childhood education that began very early in life could be a preventive factor in helping children from very high-risk, low-resource environments be well-prepared for school, with the assumption that if they were well prepared for school, they would do well through school. And there had never been an adequate scientific study to determine whether it was possible to provide the appropriate undergirding for normal development for highly vulnerable children. So we collected relevant information about the child's development, about the family context, about the community in which the children resided, to better understand how different factors in vulnerable children's lives contributed to the trajectories or the courses of a child's development from earliest infancy. And as you now know, we've been able to follow that development until the children are almost 50 years of age on average.
So let's talk about the outcomes. What were the results and how did it break down in terms of gender and other factors?
During the first year of life, there weren't much differences between the children who got what we think of as the very high quality early childhood education compared to the children who didn't. Now, it's very important to understand that all children receive some services. They all receive nutritional supplements, they all receive health care, and they all receive family support social services. So the thing that differentiated the two groups was that the Ambassadorian children in the early childhood education group were entered into a specially created program when the children were about 6 weeks of age. And the idea was to try to begin as early as we thought was feasible and to provide the most robust health and cognitive and social supports with the idea that that would allow us to test whether the provision of those kinds of supports would kind of offset the various risk conditions that these children were subject to. What we found is that that program, which placed a very strong emphasis on both language development and appropriate responsive social interactions between the children's teachers and the children, that broad approach resulted in children who, beginning by 18 months of age, were performing quite a bit better in the educationally treated group than in the comparison group, and that difference persisted until the children went to school, and the difference was of practical magnitude that would make a difference to individual children and would certainly make a difference from a practice and policy point of view. Now, what we have since done is to follow these children all the way through elementary school, junior high school, high school, if they went to college, out through ages 21, 30, 35, and 45. And what we see is something we had not anticipated. During the preschool program, when we were providing broad spectrum curriculum experiences for both the boys and the girls, there were no measurable sex differences in cognitive, language, or social development, and no differences in health status. But after the children left the Ambassadorian program and went into the public school, over time, even though overall the children who had the early childhood education did better, it was the girls who did kind of spectacularly better and grew even more impressive as they went from early elementary school out through adulthood. And the opposite pattern really occurred for boys. The longer they were in the public schools, the smaller the differences were between the treated and the comparison children.
There were obviously, over those 50 years and more, some dramatic societal changes, all levels of society. Did you factor that in at all? Do you think that was a factor in the study?
I strongly suspect that those changes were and are still important factors. For example, the children who had been in the Ambassadorian project had been taught almost as a matter of daily activity, that teachers were people who were friendly, could be counted upon, there as a resource, and we're not sure that that matched what the expectation of the newly integrated school system had. And we now know that Black boys are frequently discriminated against in subtle and not subtle ways, and they may be subjected to some of the most stringent expectations, and if they don't meet those expectations, there might be some pretty serious penalties for that. So if they are confident and outspoken and maybe willing to engage in almost peer-like conversations with teachers, they could be perceived as being pushy or showy, and that may not be what the teachers had expected, and they may, over time, treat the children in ways that cause the children to withdraw from truly active engagement in the classroom setting. And if that's the case, that is likely to be a contributor to how well the children do on the kinds of standardized tests that we use to measure academic achievement, IQ, language, reading, and math, for example.
So after 5 decades of studying the impact of early education, what gives you hope for the future, and what challenges do you feel society must overcome to achieve equity?
Well, I think that the major conclusion is that it is no longer up for grabs as to whether the trajectories of highly vulnerable children can be improved if we provide the right kinds of educational and health supports. I think we have to realize that our job is not done just getting kids school ready. Our job also includes making sure that we provide, as best we can, a level playing field that takes advantage of all the skills that children bring to the classroom, and that we both help children understand what's expected of them, which we had done, but we also have to help teachers and other school personnel be sure that they are not sending messages that undercut their potential impact on children's success. So I'm optimistic, but there's still substantial work to be done.
Well, it's a fascinating study, the Absidarian Project. Craig Ramey, the Fralin Biomedical Research Institute. Dr. Ramey, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Next, lifestyle habits to prevent a stroke. That story coming up.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this.
Oh no, my phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. Black Friday starts now. Trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on 3 great gifts. Hurry into Verizon this Black Friday. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Good morning, Doctor.
Doctor?
Hi, Doctor.
Doctor?
Dr. Jackson's practice is growing.
What do you mean we're still short-staffed?
He needs a good patient doctor.
How do we not have enough doctors to doctor all these patients?
And he doesn't have the patience to sift through hundreds of resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Black Friday buildup at Lowe's. Get a head start on Black Friday all month long with exclusive deals. Right now, get 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees just in time for the holidays. And get a free select tool when you buy a select battery or combo kit. So don't wait to save. Shop these deals in-store or online now, because Lowe's knows deals. Valid 11/21 through 11/27 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. When sending a package, why venture outside? Ship with USPS for a true holiday ride. Want to stay cozy and warm? There's no need to roam. With free package pickup and labels printed from home, we have over 600,000 employees always in motion. And before you know it, your gift has delivered emotion. Spread the holiday joy this season with USPS's enhanced network. Learn more at usps.com/holidayride.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
500,000 Americans suffer their first stroke every year. Yet experts say many of them could be prevented with proper health screening. InfoTrack reporter Gina Tedesco has the story. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Dr. Cheryl Bushnell, professor and vice chair of research in the Department of Neurology at Wake Forest University School of Medicine in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Dr. Bushnell, the data shows each year in the U.S., over 500,000 people have a first stroke, but up to 80% of strokes may be preventable. So can you characterize for us how big an opportunity Americans have, and may be missing, to avoid getting a stroke?
Absolutely. There is a tremendous opportunity for people to understand what their risks are and to be able to prevent a stroke. We know that there are gaps in our knowledge of people who are at risk, and then the people who are at risk not knowing what they can do to prevent a stroke.
And the American Stroke Association, to your point, recently issued an updated guideline on preventing stroke among those with no history of stroke. It's urging healthcare professionals to screen patients for risk factors like high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol, high blood sugar, and obesity. First off, is each more dangerous when a patient has several of these health problems together?
Absolutely. The more of the risk factors that you have, they accelerate the risk of a stroke if you have more than one of those risk factors. The big ones are obviously smoking cigarettes, high blood pressure, diabetes, and high cholesterol. And so if somebody has all four of those, they have a much, much higher risk than someone who, say, just has high blood pressure that's well treated. So we do want to try to screen for people who have multiple risk factors.
And under the guideline, other than smoking cessation, what are some of the other recommended lifestyle changes to avoid stroke?
From a lifestyle perspective, obviously to lose weight and get to your ideal weight if possible. Be physically active, moderate to vigorous physical activity for 150 minutes per week. And then also not being sedentary. So not being a couch potato could actually decrease your risk of stroke. And we did include some screening for sedentary behavior in this guideline. So that is a new recommendation to screen for.
The guideline also recommends a Mediterranean diet, particularly involving nuts and olive oil. Talk about why this kind of approach is so helpful in preventing stroke.
Yeah, the Mediterranean diet really emphasizes fresh ingredients for the most part. So as a way of following the diet, you're avoiding more processed foods. And it's also really emphasizing fruits and vegetables. It's emphasizing lean meats over, you know, red meat, for example, healthy carbs like complex carbohydrates. So if you really focus your diet on those things and that takes up the majority of your calories, then you have less intake of really high sugary foods and sugary drinks, as one example. So it's a dietary pattern. It's not just eating one thing that we think is going to be the most effective. And of course, the guideline does specifically recommend nuts and olive oil because that's what was tested in addition to the Mediterranean diet.
We're visiting with Dr. Cheryl Bushnell, professor in the Department of Neurology at Wake Forest University School of Medicine. This concerns an updated clinical guideline on preventing stroke, which is now published in the journal Stroke. In the United States, stroke is currently the fifth leading cause of death. The new guideline contains a new emphasis on social issues such as education, economic stability, access to healthcare, and so on. What can healthcare professionals do to help low-income patients in dealing with these issues?
Well, this is a really big problem that we're trying to at least make more people aware of in our guideline. Adverse social determinants of health, or the kind of living, working conditions that people are in on a daily basis, can really contribute to the risk of a stroke and access to healthcare, most importantly. So folks who have no transportation, who have no support at home, who have limited income and limited health literacy and ability to take care of themselves, all of those things can impact the ability to prevent a stroke because there really are a lot of barriers to doing the kind of things we know can work towards prevention. So inability to afford health insurance and medications are just two examples that we highlighted in the guideline.
And what new recommendations are there for preventing stroke specifically in women?
Well, we highlighted quite a few, and the reason is because our guideline for women specifically for stroke prevention was published over 10 years ago, and there's a lot of studies that have been done since then. So we think it's really important for women who've had complications during their pregnancy to talk to their doctors and understand what their risk of stroke might be. If they still have high blood pressure, that's a big one. If they've had early menopause, for example, before the age of 40, that can increase the risk of stroke. And having a condition called endometriosis can also increase the risk of stroke. So we highlighted those in addition to use of hormone replacement therapy after menopause. There are certain populations of women that really shouldn't be using these medications, and we're trying to highlight those and make sure that only women who really need those medicines and have a low risk are the ones who are taking hormone therapy.
Does having one stroke leave you more at risk for getting another one?
Absolutely. The risk is highest after the first 30 days of a stroke occurring, and then it's about 5% risk of stroke per year in people who've already had one, and that's over many years, obviously, compared to someone who's never had a stroke. So this is why we really do encourage prevention of the first stroke. And the other thing I'll mention is that there's a risk of dementia, and brain health is adversely impacted by people who've had a stroke. So we want everyone to have the healthiest brain possible. That's what all of these guidelines can contribute to, and all the recommendations for prevention. We're really trying to improve everyone's brain health.
And finally, please help us remember the ways to recognize when someone's having a stroke. The abbreviation used to be FAST, but I understand that has been updated as well. What are the warning signs that stands for?
BFAST is the current sort of more comprehensive screening mnemonic, which stands for balance. If you're having significant sudden onset of difficulty walking and balance problems. And then the E is for eye, as in EYE, and you have difficulty with vision, you can't see out of one side, or you're seeing double. And then the F in BFAST stands for face. And if you see someone's face is drooped on one side, A stands for arm, if they have arm weakness on the same side as a face droop, for example. And then S stands for speech. So people have difficulty talking, difficulty comprehending what other people are saying. And then the T stands for time. And so what we need to know is, when did all this symptoms start? And we use that as a metric for the type of acute treatments that we can give to people, and they're life-saving. So our more comprehensive screening tool now is BFAST.
Very interesting. Dr. Cheryl Bushnell from Wake Forest School of Medicine, thank you for joining us today with this important information.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
When you switch and save with Progressive, you could use that money towards scoring courtside seats for your favorite team.
Progressive cannot guarantee that you can score courtside seats. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds on average, but courtside seats can be astronomical. Maybe if your team plays in a smaller market, you could swing it. Even still, it's unlikely. Maybe fourth row, which are still incredible seats that you'll enjoy greatly. Savings possible. Courtside, long shot.
Switch and see if you could save at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Progressive cannot guarantee that someone really tall will not sit in front of you at the game, rendering your excellent seats just okay.
I got a line.
He got a line.
She got a line.
We got four lines. Cricket Nation. Cue finger guns. Really easy. Super stress-free. 5G so fast. Like blazing fast. Games and memes. You'll have a blast. You can get fast 5G across four lines. You can get fast 5G across four lines. As we discussed, take it from us. We four are one. Cricket Nation.
And only $25 a line. Welcome to more lines. Welcome to Cricket Nation. Smile. You're on Cricket.
Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Discount varies by line. Fees may apply. Terms and restrictions apply. See cricketwireless.com for details.
An unregulated substance may be purchased at many smoke shops nationwide, despite federal warnings that it can trigger toxic results, seizures, and even death. Here with the details, InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Matthew Rosheim is an associate professor at the University of North Texas Health Science Center at Fort Worth, and he was the lead researcher in this study. Professor, before we get to your findings, I think many people listening to this have never heard of this substance called kratom. What is it and how is it used?
It's marketed for a variety of reasons, from pain relief to being an opioid replacement. It's not an opioid itself, but it can mimic the effects of an opioid.
And why should it be a concern?
It's marketed as an opioid replacement in that it can have lower risk of respiratory depression, but it can still have risks with respiratory depression, especially with high doses, if it's adulterated or contaminated with heavy metals or salmonella, which it's been found to, and when used with other drugs. So it can still be fatal. And in addition, there are issues related to liver toxicity, seizures, cardiac issues, and risk of developing a substance use disorder.
I understand this substance is illegal in six states: Alabama, Arkansas, Indiana, Vermont, Wisconsin, and Rhode Island. So tell us a bit about your study of the other 44 states, briefly how you conducted it and what you found.
So in November and December of last year, I contacted 520 smoke shops across the U.S. and asked them about whether or not they sold these products and what popular brands they sold. And so we found that nationwide, including states that had banned the product, 72% of smoke shops were selling kratom. And this was in 21 states, 90% of smoke shops were selling kratom. So it's widely available. In states without bans, 80% of smoke shops were selling these products. And even in Rhode Island, where it was illegal at the time, 40% of smoke shops were selling them there. So these products are widely available. State bans seem to be largely effective. Most states that had bans weren't selling any of these, but it seems that they need to be well enforced in order to prevent the retail availability of these products.
There have been federal warnings, and of course, there are known risks, as you've mentioned. Why do you think that kratom is still so widely available?
Yeah, it's being marketed for a variety of different reasons, from mood enhancement, pain relief, or as an opioid replacement. You know, it's just so underregulated right now federally and in most states. We really need, you know, product testing, labeling, marketing restrictions on what they can say about it, restrictions on potency, a minimum age for purchase federally, all sorts of regulations that are just really lacking at the federal level.
How do you respond to that marketing argument that kratom can be useful for people withdrawing from opioids?
Yeah, I think we need more research on that. It should be clinically studied in randomized control trials to test its efficacy versus other evidence-based treatments available.
What was the most surprising thing you found in your study?
Just how widely available this was throughout the United States. It's shocking that, you know, nearly three-fourths of shops throughout the U.S. and four-fifths of those in states that didn't have bans were selling these products. You know, they're relatively new to the U.S. market and have really become very widely available, despite a lot of known risks and very limited regulations on these products.
So do you have any final thoughts for us on maybe public health measures that might help, or what steps local government should take regarding this substance?
Absolutely. There's a number of different policy options and things that can be done to help protect the public. As I mentioned, that, you know, we need more research and funding for more research on this area, but in the interim, product testing to make sure that these products aren't contaminated with things like heavy metals or salmonella, labeling so that people can understand the dose and limits on the potency so that it reduces risk of overdosing, marketing regulations. It's often sold in powder, pills, and capsules, but, you know, whether or not they should be fruity flavored and sold to kids, you know, there needs to be minimum age restrictions, which most states don't have right now. That should be federal, it should be across the board. So a number of laws to reduce their availability and the risks associated with using them.
I'm just curious, where does this product typically originate?
The plant that it comes from is usually in Southeast Asia, particularly in countries like Thailand, Indonesia, Malaysia. And it's been traditionally used in these countries in various different forms for pain relief, for mood enhancement, or an opioid substitute.
And it's probably worth mentioning one more time, you do have addiction concerns regarding the use of kratom.
Absolutely, yes. It definitely has the potential for people developing addiction or substance use disorders.
Matthew Rossheim from the University of North Texas Health Science Center, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That's it for another edition of InfoTrack. InfoTrack Internet services are provided by Pear.com. Thanks to this week's contributors, Roy Mackey and Gina Tedesco. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Text us anytime. Just download the free Civic Media app and select 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Well, it was down some street we couldn't even pronounce. We were stuck in the middle, loving every ounce. Tequila was cheap, but the flow we were feeling was real. Neither one of us looking for three little words, unless those three words were do not disturb. Checkout was supposed to be noon, but we slept until three. She kept the hotel key, slipped it in her purse, I guess. It makes her think of me. And that night we left our hearts on the sleeves and the clothes all over the floor. We both know we can't open that door no more, but she kept the hotel key. Still see her on the bed sitting Indian style with my t-shirt on and a half-drunk smile. She talked about Austin and how she'd get back there someday. I had the curtains wide open and a song on my phone. We danced by the TV we never turned on and wondered would anyone miss us if we ran away. But this isn't one of those stories that ends up that way. No. But she kept the hotel key, slipped it in a purse, I guess. It makes her think of me. And that night we left our hearts on the sleeves and my clothes all over the floor. We both know we can't open the door no more, but she kept the hotel key. We left the crowd, we left the world and locked it out. She left a picture in my head, she left a night I can't forget. But she kept the hotel key, slipped it in her purse, I guess. It makes her think of me. And that night we left our hearts on the sleeves and the clothes all over the floor. We both know we can't open the door no more, but she kept the hotel key.
Got my toes in the water, ass in the sand. Not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock, and the city's still on my mind. Bikinis and palm trees danced in my head. I was still in the baggage line. Concrete cars, oh, they own prison bars like this life I'm living in. But the plane brought me farther. I'm surrounded by water and I'm not going back again. I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand. Not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Yeah, I'm leaving GA. And if it weren't for tequila and pretty senoritas, I'd have no reason to stay. Adios and via con Dios. Yeah, I'm leaving GA. Gonna lay in the hot sun and roll a big fat one and grab my guitar and play. Days flew by like a drunk Friday night as summer drew to an end. They can't believe that I just couldn't leave, and I bid adieu to my friends. 'Cause my bartender, she's from the islands. Her body's been kissed by the sun, and coconut replaces the smell of the bar, and I don't know if it's her or the rum. I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand. Not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Adios and bye.
Marco News, a long way from GA. Yes, and all the muchachas, they call me Big Papa when I throw pesos their way. Adios and via con Dios, a long way from GA. Someone do me a favor and pour me some Jaeger, and I'll grab my guitar and play. Going home now to stay. The senoritas don't care when there's no dinero. Yeah, I got no money to stay. Adios and vaya con Dios. Going home now to stay. Just gonna prop up by the lake. Put my ass in a lawn chair, toes in the clay. Not a worry in a world of PBR on the way. Life is good today. Life is good today.
95.7 FM.
She don't drink whiskey much, but I do. She don't sit on old bar stools, but I do. I don't worry about where she's been. I'm the only trouble she gets in. She don't have tattoos on her skin, but I do. 'Cause I'm her wild side. The one crazy thing she does, I hope she never quits me. I hope she never gives me up. Well, I'm a mile away from perfect. There's a curse word, man, I've cursed it. I'm the only hell she's ever gonna raise. The one bad habit I hope she never breaks. She could put me down like a cigarette if she wanted to. Go and find somebody else if she wanted to. Thank God I'm her one addiction. She ain't got around to kicking. Hell, I couldn't blame her if she wanted to. I'm her wild side. The one crazy thing she does, I hope she never quits me. I hope she never gives me up. I'm a mile away from perfect. If there's a curse word, man, I've cursed it. I'm the only hell she's ever gonna raise. The one bad habit I hope she never breaks. I hope she never breaks.
So when you cross my mind, I try not to think about what might have been, 'cause that was then, and we have taken different roads. We can't go back again. There's no use giving in, and there's no way to know what might have been. Talk about this all night long and wonder why we didn't last. Yes, they might be the best days we will ever know, but we'll have to leave them in the past. So try not to think about what might have been, 'cause that was then, and we have taken different roads. We can't go back again. There's no use giving in, and there's no way to know what might have been. Same old look in your eyes. It's a beautiful night. I'm so tempted to stay, but too much time has gone by. We should just say goodbye and turn and walk away. Try not to think about what might have been, 'cause that was then, and we have taken different roads. We can't go back again. There's no use giving in, and there's no way.
Country favorites play here. 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna leave. I just had that one drink, and we've all gotta be up early. Boys, we ought to shut her down. Just take it to the house for anybody. It starts getting crazy. So I started walking across the floor. Before I got to the door, oh no, somebody just bought a shot of that Patron. Hang on, I just might have to stay. Trying to do, oh no, it would be so wrong if we didn't dance one show on.
to sit it out.
St. Croix Country.
He's a phone call to his parents. He's a Bible by the bed. He's the t-shirt that I'm wearing. He's a song stuck in my head. He's solid and he's steady like the Allegheny runs. He knows just where.
He's good all the time.
From Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 95.7 St. Croix Country. WSCM Baldwin. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
Staring for, she don't know she's